Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
I've no idea what's happened today, so we're just going to blang it. There's the opening to the podcast, Catherine. Hello, everybody. This is the Tennis Podcast, and Catherine and I are in the...
I know what's happened today.
Good.
Oh, was that it?
Yeah, we're on. We're on, Catherine. So, hello, folks. We're in the lobby to Catherine's hotel, because this is where we do our best work at US Opens. It's well into the night session, and Roger Federer, as we come to you right now, is a set down against Sumit Nagal of India, ranked 190 in the world. Now, you'll all know the results of this by the time you listen to this. So what we're going to do is, if it gets dramatic, then we'll come back on at the end and have a chat. But anyway, he looks rusty. Is the first set, isn't it? And the other fella, Sumit Nagal. My goodness, he's playing out of his skin.
Absolutely leathering the ball. It's great to see somebody just go for it, which is not what I expected when, you know, my comments of on our preview podcast, which aren't aging very well as we speak, about how, you know, his pre-match attitude of, oh, he's my hero, I can't believe I'm going to get this opportunity. I don't know, it's not tallying with the guy I'm seeing before my eyes now, which is a guy that's going, I don't care who you are, mate, I'm going to have a go.
I'm always intrigued to see new players that we don't know too much about come on the scene and get their moment in the spotlight like this, because some do grow an inch or two, don't they, before your very eyes. Their shoulders go back, they suddenly start strutting, they look like they own the place. This is their moment and they're going to take it, and so many others shrink.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, as you were saying that, he just whipped a forehand down the line winner past he made Federer look old there. It's audacious the way he's playing right now. I suspect he can't keep it up. There are some of the best players in the world that can't keep up their best level for 3 out of 5 sets. Mm. So I'd be surprised if somebody ranked,
190 in the world.
190, yeah. In the world. I'd be extremely surprised if he can keep this up.
We should say, I mean, we recall the last Grand Slam that Roger Federer played. He lost the first set to Lloyd Harris of South Africa in the opening round, and I think he was actually close in the second set as well, and he, you know, there were moments when you thought, hold on. So there are precedents there, and Federer is clearly rusty, because, you know, he's only played 2 sets since Wimbledon, but let's not forget he went and ended up nearly winning Wimbledon.
We know he's rusty because he's got a beard.
He's got a beard, and Matt's asleep as we speak to you now. Matt's in England, right? And the reason this is relevant is because Matt's informed us before he turned the lights out at 2:30 a.m. his time that he...
The last time he went to bed on Roger Federer, thinking he was, you know, all tucked up for the night.
Thinking foregone conclusion.
He woke up and Federer had lost.
Yes, to John Millman here a year ago. So anyway, we'll get on to that if required. Catherine, the day as a whole.
Well, should we work backwards through the night session?
Let's work backwards through the night, because we've just come back from the US Open. You finished pretty much as you were going into the Serena Williams-Maria Sharapova match on Amazon Prime. I was there for that match. I commentated on it. I was rubbish, to be honest, by my standards. But Serena Williams wasn't. She was superb. 6-1, 6-1.
Superb.
It's a bit arrogant, wasn't it, by my standards?
Yeah. I don't know what. Just let that linger in the air. Serena Williams was brilliant. I mean, Maria Sharapova was not. I mean, it was just... a demonstration of how much superior a player Serena Williams is than Maria Sharapova in every single department. Name me a shot or an element of tennis at which Maria Sharapova is better than Serena Williams, no, or ever has been. I mean, there isn't one.
It's, I tell you what, it's like when my football team faces, and I think that they're really good, and then they face somebody that's just better, and then it suddenly shocks me because I thought, oh,
that was happening for 70 minutes in the week,
we were
wasn't
all right,
it?
Yeah,
80 minutes,
and
86
so
minutes.
We had this situation that Maria Sharapova is a very, very good tennis player. She's won 5 Grand Slam titles. She hits the ball incredibly hard, and yet every time she hit it hard at Serena Williams, it came back with interest. And I think what happens, I've fallen into this trap a few times, that I start to think that Sharapova can make an impact. And Serena Williams comes out absolutely determined that that will not be the case, because it's more than just a tennis match for her when she plays Serena Williams. I believe she makes sure that Sharapova gets her best every time, and her best is too good for Sharapova, simple as.
But I also think that rivalry, or famously unrivalry, as Chris Clary from the New York Times puts it, is a bigger deal in Maria Sharapova's head than it is in Serena Williams. I think she's a little bit extra fired up to play Maria Sharapova than she would be somebody else, but I think she's such a sort of insignificance to her as a rival. I think
I don't believe that. I mean in terms of their tennis careers, yes, she is an irrelevance to a large degree because it's 15 years since Sharapova beat her, but we know that the little girl has just come back into the lobby here and is protesting about being dragged away from the Roger Federer match.
It's Fabio Fognini's son.
Is it? Oh, it's not a little girl then.
That's Fognini, Flavia Panetta and family.
So it is.
Yeah.
I didn't
he
see
lost
that.
Today. He just walked through the front door of the hotel absolutely grinning from ear to ear.
He lost to Riley Opelka, yeah. 6'11" and 3/4". He lost to him in 4 sets.
You wouldn't know from his body language.
So there we are. We've had Fabio Fognini and Flavia Panetta's son, turns out, on the tennis podcast live here in the lobby. Who'd have thought
son
it?
Son of a US Open champion.
Yes, that's right. Flavia Panetta, whose final match, not final match because she played the WTA finals, but her final slam match came here with holding the trophy. But where was I? Serena Williams.
Sharapova, the significance of that rivalry in Serena's mind.
I just think she wants to put her in her place every single time. I believe that is what she's all about. It's personal. She wants to take her down.
I think she is in her place already.
But I don't think there is ever going to be a situation where they could play each other where Williams's senses would not be heightened by the fact that Sharapova's over there. And I'll tell you what, get out of my way.
Well, she got out of her way, didn't she?
Yeah.
6-1, 6-1. I don't think Maria Sharapova won a point on her second serve.
No, there was a big fat zero on our WhatsApp group, and that's what you were referring to, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a statement performance.
It was.
From Serena Williams.
Do you feel that performance and that draw might make a difference to Serena Williams' hopes here at the US Open? Because it doesn't half get her into the groove quickly, that draw, doesn't it?
Yes, possibly. She did look remarkably grooved. You're very right. She didn't look rusty on serve. She looked to be moving better than she has done in the early rounds of tournaments. It has taken her a while to grow into tournaments. We talked at Wimbledon, I think, about it was the Gerges victory at Wimbledon,
yes,
in the fourth round.
Yeah.
When it seemed
maybe
like
even
it,
earlier, I think.
Possibly
but
third round.
But it was one of those where you on paper you thought, oh, that's quite a tough draw, and then suddenly she just swept her aside.
Yeah, it was the turning point for sure. Possibly, but let's be honest, the stumbling block for Serena hasn't been in the early rounds, it's been getting over the finish line. And I don't think a first round, a brilliant performance in a first round match is going to help her 12 days from now. If she ends up in the final 12 days from now, it's...
I think it might, just because of the occasion. Everybody's into it. Everybody's looking... And I know it's... And I know... I take your point about the disparity between the two is so extreme, but that was a big night occasion tonight, and I think that that might help a little bit.
I certainly think the crowd reception to her tonight will help her. Because,
so warm, wasn't it?
As much as she gives the impression that she's above it all and has moved on from what happened here in the final last year.
And don't forget, when we had Andy Roddick on the show, he said that deep down she will have, you know, known that she went too far. Mm. And she wouldn't admit it, but she would know really that was too much. So I think there definitely could have been apprehension in that regard. And it's the first time she's been on that court since then. It must bring back some weird memories at the very least. I would imagine she probably was a bit embarrassed when she thinks back to it about how out of hand it all got. But anyway, she's come out and she's put on an absolute clinic tonight and is through to the second round. The interesting thing is her draw... Though, one of the things Jill Krabas, who was commentating with us on the BBC radio team, was saying is that Sharapova just fits perfectly for her game in terms of where the ball lands in her strike zone. Everything's flat and low, and it's exactly where Serena wants it.
Yeah, and actually, that was I was watching the match on ESPN, and she won the match and trotted along to the ESPN studio out in the main concourse overlooking the fountains there at the US Open, she was asked, her record against Sharapova was put to her. She's won 20. She's won the last 19. Against her, dating back to 2004, what is it about her game that suits you so well? And she held back from saying, "I'm just better than her in every respect," which would have been a completely legitimate answer
and funny,
yeah, and just brilliant. And she said she thought her height actually. She said, "I don't know, maybe it's her height. It just puts the ball in exactly the position I want the ball to be."
That's interesting. And the reason I brought that up is because I think, is it her next round opponent or the one after where she's going to play Shea Souay, if it comes to it? And, you know...
Yes, please.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it, really? Incidentally, we've been on air for...
Shea Souay, I think... I don't think this was a joke. I think she bought the kit that she was wearing today from the tournament merchandise shop.
She basically came dressed as a ball girl. which is fantastic.
She's so great.
Obviously. But can I just say, we've been on air for 13 minutes, and when we came on air, Roger Federer was in massive trouble. He got a beard on and everything, and now he's 5 love up.
Has he had a shave?
he's had a sort of spiritual shave, I think. And he's just wiped away all the doubts. So anyway, Serena Williams is brilliant. I'll bring up the draw in a minute and find out whether she's playing Souay Shea or not next. But I know she won today anyway.
And if she plays somebody next that she's never played before.
Okay.
Well, because they were talking about that on ESPN as well. I've forgotten who it is, but it's definitely somebody she's never played before.
Don't worry, folks.
This is great radio.
We're on it. We're on it. We'll get
there. Guess who it is?
Yeah, guess who it
Tweet
is.
Tweet us.
Are you on it?
Who
more than
it
us. So what else happened? And actually, when all that was going on, poor old Cameron Norrie was in the middle of the five-set epic of all five-set epics.
Poor old Mary Grillo and Tim Henman.
Yeah, they were commentating on Prime Video.
Both the induction for both of them to the Prime Video team.
All 4 hours and 1 minute of it. That's how long it was.
You're doing Cam Norrie against Gregoire Barrère on Court 10. We don't know what time it's starting. We don't know what time it's finishing. And what were the words that Mary used in Gregoire Barrère's moment of victory? He came back from ahead.
Indeed. Now I've got Sven Grunewald and Greg Rosensky heckling us from afar. and incidentally, Serena Williams against Catherine McNally.
Katie McNally. I think Harriet Dart beat at Wimbledon.
Yes. And Shay Sui is a potential third round opponent. Yeah, against, she's got to play Karolina Muchova, though, first.
Oh, she's
or
good.
Muchova. Muchova.
Some people say Mukova.
Muchova. I think it is.
You suddenly said that with total confidence, having split seconds earlier pronounced it two different alternative ways.
Said it four ways now. Oh dear.
So it's Mukova, like Burdick.
If you think
Burdick.
This is a bit of a disjointed podcast, folks, it's because I'm on a beer at the moment, and Catherine is drinking whiskey and soda, which is a tennis podcast first.
So, yeah. Yeah. Day one, I've gone whiskey. There's nowhere to go from here.
That is heavy duty.
Some sort of, I don't know what sort of state I'll be in on day 10.
What was it?
I don't think.
What was Mary saying about Cam Norrie then?
She said a lot of things over the course of 4 hours and 1 minute.
She did.
He came back from ahead. He's done it. He's come back from ahead. Is what she said.
About
in the moment
victor.
Of Grégoire Barrère's victory. He was 2 sets to love up.
Yeah.
Cameron Norrie won the fourth. It's Grégoire Barrère looked like he was on fumes.
Norrie served for it twice.
Then Norrie saves match points in the fourth. Fabio Fognini's popped out for some snacks. Come back.
He's a good dad, isn't he? He's gone and got the...
I assume he's still in the doubles.
Gone and got the dinner in.
Is he still in the doubles?
Don't know.
He saves match points in the fourth. Comes back and takes that on a tie break. So you think, oh, right, Cam's got this. He's got this. And I think he's twice a break up.
Well, he served for it twice. He served for it 5-4, 6-5.
And loses it in a fifth set tie break.
And I had to interview him afterwards.
Oh, God.
Do you know, the interview lasted 1 minute and 13 seconds. I asked him 2 questions.
Just got him a whiskey and soda.
I felt so sorry for him. Poor guy. I mean, because he's a really nice lad to interview. He's somebody who's always happy to do an interview.
Yeah, he is.
And I just asked him the first question, you know, and, you know, he actually said, I felt quite proud to have come back from 2 sets to love down, but then to not win. I just wanted to put my arm around him. Oh, dear, poor lad. So, anyway, he didn't win through in the end. Dan Evans, on a British side of things, Dan Evans did win in 4 sets against Andrew Mannarino. Good win, that, against a really awkward player. A match they both clearly hated playing. They both looked utterly miserable throughout.
Everyone involved hated that.
Evan said to me, he said, did you have to commentate on that? And I said, yeah. And he goes, I feel sorry for you. I said, I feel quite sorry for myself. It was awful entertainment. I mean, you know, they're both great players to watch when they're playing other people, but against each other, it's appalling.
It was so weird, wasn't it? Dan Evans, he's a breakup in the first set, and he's cursing the world. And then he wins the first set, and he's cursing the world. Goes a breakup in the second set, and he, you know, someone tell his face. He can't. I said to him afterwards,
what were you saying to your support team? I mean, tell us the words you're allowed to say on air.
I twice had to apologise for his language on Prime today.
Yeah, I had to do that as well.
Thanks, Dan.
There was one moment where the camera was panning to somebody in the crowd completely different, and you just heard this sudden something off to somebody really loud, and it was him, and I have no idea what he was saying or who to.
He had Leon Smith in his box service. He's Davis Cup captain, but seems to be kind of temporarily filling the void left by David Folgate, who he surprisingly split with a couple of weeks ago.
It's a surprising split, that, to me. I mean, he was making the case pretty strongly that he felt he wanted to go to the net more and this kind of thing. But the words he spoke in his pre-tournament interviews, I was a little bit taken aback by. I thought he was pretty dismissive of David, and I don't think he would have intended to be, but I think he chose his words pr- probably not as well as he could have done. And when you consider how well the two of them have done together over the last 18 months, I mean, David Felgate and he, no matter who's done what, Dan Evans has been inside the top 50 as recent as a week ago when he was unranked 18 months ago.
Yeah, I've found the language he used a bit disrespectful, really. It's completely legitimate to make that decision. I love the sound of Dan Evans being more aggressive and coming to the net more. That is type of tennis that I'm well up for watching. But some of the language he used about not wanting to waste his time and money was not great. Not great at all.
Yeah.
And I suspect it is carelessness on his behalf. We know what he's like. And I don't think he's malicious at all. It was very, very careless.
Yeah, it was. He's through to the second round and will now face, I think, Luca Puy.
Yeah. 1-4 over Philip Kohlschreiber. And I think he'll have to be quite aggressive against Luca Puy. I think it's a lovely matchup, actually. Dan Evans, a swashbuckling Dan Evans up against Luca Puy. I'm all in for that.
And that's the thing, talking about stars and him and Mannarino not working, I could really imagine that working as a contest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Earlier in the day on the Arthur Ashe Stadium Court, we had a pretty straightforward win for Novak Djokovic.
Yeah, went through the gears.
Yeah, that's what it was, wasn't it? Because first set was relatively tight against
Roberto Caballas Baena.
Yes.
World number 76 from Spain.
Good stuff, like that.
I've said his name a lot today.
Yes, he has those gears and he was able to move through them and he won comfortably. I mean, really, his draw gets interesting if he ends up playing Stan Wawrinka in round four, doesn't it, really?
Yes, Wawrinka won through, I think, in four sets over Jannik Sinner.
Yes.
Well, I'm quite sure that's not how you pronounce it because he's from Italy and the way I'm pronouncing it doesn't sound remotely Italian.
No.
But quite an exciting prospect by all accounts, Sinner.
6-3 in the fourth, Wawrinka won. So he's through into the next round. The other one who's obviously relevant in that section is Daniil Medvedev, who won through today 6-4, 6-1, 6-2 against Gunaswaran.
Prajnesh Gunaswaran of India, yes.
Yeah.
He's having a career best year. But he was so good, Medvedev. It was a real performance of a top seed at a slam. Mm. You know, putting somebody in their place and saying, no, I'm the big deal here.
This is the thing. He's beating people economically,
yeah,
isn't he? And
seriously economically. But there was a hiccup in the third set. He pulled up in his hamstring and received some quite intense looking and certainly slightly X-rated treatment on his hamstring / glute area, which possibly on reflection, if he watched it back, he might think, oh, probably should have gone off court for that.
In the sanctuary of the locker room.
Yeah, he's probably, I mean, yeah. It was, yeah, the director came through in my ear and he said, oh, at the next change of ends, I think we were on the Conta match at the time, more of Joe Conta to come. And the director came through in my ear and said, oh, at the next change of ends, you're going to come in and give an update on Daniil Medvedev. We're going to just cross over to Louis Armstrong Court where Medvedev's playing. So, yeah, great, following it, yeah, all good. And then, look at the screen. Suddenly, I'm saying, and over on Court Louis Armstrong, Daniil Medvedev is, and then this just real close up of his bum pops up. And Daniil Medvedev is getting some treatment on his.
As you can see.
I mean, yeah, the words just sort of let the pictures speak for themselves.
Golden rule.
Is what I decided upon.
That's very good.
Anyway, he still raced through the deciding set and looked pretty relaxed in victory. There didn't seem to be any signs of concern on his face.
Juan Ignacio Londero has beaten Sam Querrey, so he's now the next opponent for Novak Djokovic. We now have potential Dusan Lajovic third round match for Djokovic. Final match of the US Open for Janko Tipsarevic today as well, by the way.
I was just going to say on the Lajovic front, that's good. It's going to sound dismissive of Lajovic, but if he does end up playing Wawrinka Djokovic, then Lajovic is good prep for playing Wawrinka. Very similar players.
Yeah, similar build, similar games in many ways. Not as explosive as Wawrinka, but I know what you mean there. So Wawrinka's got Jeremy Chardy next, who beat Hubert Hurkacz in five sets. Good win for Chardy, that.
Very good win for Chardy. Hurkacz, it's the curse of playing and winning the week before, isn't it? It's that real balance. Obviously, it's great to win a tournament on the eve of the US Open, but he's probably only been here a day, and he's out. It's a tricky balance.
How about this? Feliciano Lopez has beaten Taylor Fritz before.
I saw that developing. I saw he was 2-1 up, and I thought quietly to myself, if that ends up happening, that's a heck of a win.
It was a really good win. Yeah, very good. So David Goffin won in four sets. Grigor Dimitrov won a match, Catherine,
against Andrea Seppi, who there's no cheating against Andrea Seppi. You have to win it fair and square. And I mean, you were in the Prime Video studio with me, and we were keeping an eye on that. And I was worried for Grigor, because I mean, I've got all the time in the world for Andrea Seppi, but I want Grigor to turn this ship around. It's been tough to watch him of late.
He did say afterwards that his shoulder is okay now, which is encouraging.
Yeah, and that's a really encouraging victory. I don't want to suddenly become a believer again after one first round victory over an unseeded player. But I said to you, Seppi is somebody that if you're even having the slightest thought about choking, Seppi will turn it into a reality. He gives you the opportunity to choke.
Yeah.
And Dimitrov didn't take that opportunity today.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds like faint praise, but it's been an awful time for him. Awful. And that win counts.
Yeah, it does. If Serena Williams is impressive, Venus Williams was arguably just as impressive today. 6-1-6 love against a player ranked above her, 38 in the world, Zheng Saisai, and Williams just swept her aside.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That's good, isn't it? Joe Konta, we talked about. You got this right in our newsletter predictions. Folks, you can sign up to our newsletter to get our daily predictions, of which Catherine and I differed. I went Kasatkina to beat Konta. Catherine went Konta to beat Kasatkina. Konta won. Gosh, she looks smug right now. If you could see her as she sips on a whiskey and soda in this hotel lobby. God, I want to leave. Anyway, Konta won. She was good, too. And actually, she could have won that in straight sets. First set was 6-1 after 24 minutes.
She was sublime in the first set.
She was hitting the ball so hard,
wasn't
she?
She was so sublime that I was worried about her throughout, because I thought this is too good.
Can't keep this up.
You can't keep this up.
Typical Brit.
And how could you not think to yourself, I can't keep this up? Because that's what I'd be thinking to myself
far
in
too
that
well
position. Yeah, this is ridiculous. This is not sustainable. Stop it now. And she did. I mean, she didn't, you know.
A bit like Zarina Diaz.
She was by no means a collapse.
Zarina Diaz was 5 love up. Against Ash Barty as Nick Kyrgios departs the hotel lobby with his bags over his shoulder.
Oh,
what's he doing here?
What time is it?
Why is he going that way?
It's 10:39.
Shouldn't he be coming this way?
10:39.
He's playing tomorrow, right?
And Nick Kyrgios.
Is he staying in this hotel?
With entourage. Just left.
It's all right, folks. Don't worry. He's probably not staying here. Or maybe he's just come to see a mate.
He does his best stuff when he's on the lash, doesn't he? See Acapulco.
correct.
2019. Yeah, he's going to win the tournament. Heard it here first. He's on the lash. He's going to win the tournament.
He's got to prepare his body clock because tomorrow he's second on in the night session on Louis Armstrong. So he's exited the hotel lobby. I think he was just here for treatment on some trainer's massage table, and now he's going back to his own hotel.
I can confirm this is where he's staying.
Right. Okay, there's my theory out the water. Ash Barty won through in three sets eventually after losing the first five games against Serena Diaz.
That was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She hit nine unforced errors in the first two games.
Mm. Nine errors in the first yeah. two games.
Nine unforced errors in the first two games. It was a bit of a glimpse into... She seems like everything's waters off a duck's back, Ash Barty, doesn't she? Just, easy breezy. My head's doing the same thing no matter what the scoreline, no matter what the situation. You know, don't feel pressure. Nothing's different for me now. I've won a Grand Slam, been world number one, etc., etc. Well, okay, I mean, only a set's worth, but for sure she felt it today.
Yeah, I felt... it on her behalf, to be quite honest. But anyway, she turned it round. Good for her. You know, it's sometimes
Absolutely.
Difficult in these best of three set matches, particularly just to get enough time to turn these things around. 6-1.
And she stayed calm, crucially. She didn't panic at all.
6-1-6 love for Maria Sakkari over Camilla Giorgi. That's a pretty heavy victory for her. Big win for Kristina Mladenovic over
Huge.
Angelique Kerber, 14th seed, who's had a terrible time in the slams this year. She lost to Danielle Collins, didn't she?
It just means next year she's going to win a couple of slams, doesn't it? Because she can only do it in even years.
Yes, she suddenly produces...
Year on, year off.
Every other
it's
year.
It's a fascinating psychology going on there.
Hmm. Yeah, I wonder what's been happening with Kerber this year, because I really thought she was going to have a good year. She lost to Potapova in Roland Garros in the first round, 4-2. Lost to Lauren Davis at Wimbledon in round two. Lost first round here to Mladenovic, 6-4 in the third. But yeah, good win
for Mladenovic.
Yeah, and that was Danielle Collins in Australia in round four, 6-love, 6-2.
Yeah, that was just arresting victory.
Jarring, isn't
defeat.
It?
Yeah, very much so. I'll tell you what, the way Sasha Bajin celebrated in the crowd when Mladenovic won that match, it was wow.
Did you see that actor Tom Hiddleston was here watching Joe Konta?
I did see that.
You
he
told
loves
me
his tennis you, Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, you told me he's into it.
He's very he's always at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
I saw him in the West End a few months ago.
I see. Was he any good?
It's the same play he's now doing on Broadway.
Oh right.
That's why he's
Betrayal.
Here. Betrayal. Harold Pinter.
Okay.
He's very good in it. I mean, I think he's completely bananas.
Is he? Why is that?
Well, just Google Tom Hiddleston Man in the Mirror, and I promise you won't be disappointed.
Okay, I will. The problem is if I go to the theatre I will fall asleep. No matter how good it is, I'm at that age.
It's quite short betrayal. There's no interval.
Yeah, I mean, if I sit down and watch anything on the television, my kids laugh.
It's not on the television, it's in the theatre.
I know, but that doesn't matter. Anyway.
So it's pretty gripping.
Okay, maybe I won't then. Let's just wrap this up. What else has happened? We're going down the results here, and you know what? There's nothing else massively arresting about the results today. Sofia Kenin got a win over Coco Vandeweghe, who's coming back from her foot injury, of course. Monica Puig lost in straight sets. I read some pretty heavy quotes from Puig, who's clearly not happy at having been dropped by Kamau Murray.
I believe she had moved to Chicago. She'd moved to Chicago in order to to train with him and to develop their coaching relationship. So I think that's understandable, right?
I think Roger Federer is going to be okay, Catherine. He's won the second set 6-1 and he's 2-love up in the third. So unless something dramatic happens...
It's Lloyd Harris all over again, isn't it?
He's we'll leave it there.
He's going to go 2 match points up in the final and lose.
So that means he'll get to the final and have 2 match points against Novak Djokovic before Djokovic wins the title.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
Definitely going to
happen. Well, that can't happen in the final,
no,
can it? It happened in the semi-final, won't it? But anyway... Who knows? Who knows? It's all to come. So what have we got tomorrow to look forward to?
Tsitsipas Rublev.
That's a heck of a start to the order of play, isn't
it? Brilliant.
Yeah, that's on Louis Armstrong court, whilst Naomi Osaka is up against Anna Blinkova on
I saw her in practice today, Osaka, and I remain concerned. I don't know enough about Anna Blinkova to speculate about whether... That will be. I mean, Osaka's just straight up good enough, probably to win through a few rounds. But I'll have a closer look at her draw to see where the trouble might come. But I'm convinced the trouble's coming.
Oh dear, it's a bit grim.
Sorry, that was really bleak.
Although you were happier with what you saw from.
I almost want the trouble to come. So this experience of defending this title is over for her.
Oh,
I mean, I hope I'm not projecting too much about what might be going on in her head, but my empathy senses are saying I want this experience to be over for you.
You were happier seeing Aryna Sabalenka on the practice court today, who looked...
She was out there for... I'll tell you what, she's looking fitter than she has done in a long time. She was out there for at least 2 hours. Well, I texted the group and said she's been out there 2 hours. And then...
I came over to have a look and she was there for another hour.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And really, really intense practice, really going for it. I love the dynamics still with Dmitry Tursunov. And as we were saying earlier, she could have... It's been a horrible year and she could have panicked. She really could have panicked and ditched that relationship and... They're built on strong stuff, those two. They've
it's
got a really
see.
Firm foundation. It's great to see.
So after that, it's Dominic Thiem up against Thomas Fabiano. And then the evening session is John Millman against Rafael Nadal, then Sloane Stephens against Kalinskaya. There's Simona Halep against Nicole Gibbs. Isn't it great to see Nicole Gibbs
Absolutely.
Back? After all she's been through, she's been... having treatment this year for cancer, and it's just wonderful to see her back on a court. And she got through two qualifying rounds, eventually lost out in a third set in the third round of qualifying, and got in because somebody else had to withdraw. And all the best to her against Simona Halep, regardless of the result. Coco Gauff is playing third on Louis Armstrong tomorrow, not before 3 o'clock local time.
I find it really interesting that that's been given a not before time. Mm. That's how big a deal that match is, that TV want it guaranteed.
Yeah, that's right.
They want, I mean, I have my concerns about the extent to which she's being
hyped. Yeah, she's playing Potter Pover, who used
I'm also into the hype.
Who used to be hyped, and we're doing some of the hype. That's all this is. And then with the Sabalenka against Azarenka evening session, Lewis Armstrong.
How is that not on Ash?
It's good. It's a good match, isn't it? But I love Lewis Armstrong now. I went out there this morning for a little tour. What a great court that is. It's really cool.
Yeah. Tim Emmons was out there earlier, did a live cross with him in the opening to the show. And that was his first time. Well, it's his first time at the US Open in 12 years.
Yeah.
It's his first time on that court since he played his last ever tour match on it.
Amazing.
In 2007, and his last ever tour match was a loss to Joe Wilfried Tsonga. His previous round was a victory over Dmitry Tursunov, for which I was in the crowd with my
dad. Yes, I remember you telling me that. Steve Johnson against Nick Kyrgios, second on Lewis Armstrong.
Someone should tell Nick Kyrgios.
No, he's just preparing his body clients. It's all fine, Catherine. Grand Slam court is Alison Risk against Garbiñe Muguruza.
Now working, as you informed me, with Annabel Medina Garrigues.
Yes, like that.
I like that a lot as well. Yeah. She was coaching Elena Ostapenko when she won the French Open. Yep. But that's a tough first round Risk.
Bit surprised to see Denis Shapovalov against Felix Auger-Aliassime on grandstand court fourth on. It's a good court though.
I think that match has grandstand written all over it.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
it's the fourth on that slightly surprises me, but I suppose it'll be floodlit and sunset.
Oh, it'll be brilliant atmosphere, won't it?
Shapovalov was going at it on the practice court as well with Mikhail Yuzhny. Yuzhny was belting it to him.
Yeah.
Absolutely just full throttle, Mikhail Yuzhny. He could still be on tour.
For no question. Kyle Edmund is second on court 13 against Pablo Anderhart. Not a bad draw, actually, I would have thought, on paper at least, for Kyle, but we'll see how that goes. Catherine, I just wanted to end by letting you know I'd received an email today from one of our listeners, and you can send in your emails.
Email.
Yeah. You can send in your emails if you go to our tennispodcast.net website. There's a contact form on there. You can send us notes on Twitter. All sorts of messages have been coming in. This person is Erica Salou, who says, first of all, David, that was a delicious Larry Stefanke interview. So thank you very much, Erica. And she says, ooh, Catherine, Ben Platt is not some emo tosser. He is a Tony.
I didn't call him a tosser.
He is a Tony, Grammy, and Emmy winner. This is the person, incidentally, that opened the show tonight on Arthur Ashe Stadium Court instead of Hugh Jackman, that Catherine thought was going to do it. And he was quite similar to Hugh Jackman in his singing and dancing and all the
in his sort of
frivolity.
15-year-old red trouser wearing high energy way.
Yes. Yeah. He, on his own, he would get this ex-music industry escapee to rock up to the stadium. Wow. Cool.
Apparently Jim Curry is a big fan of his. Look, I'm not disparaging the work of Ben Platt. I'm quite sure he is brilliant in his field. I'm just saying he's not flipping Beyonce, is he? No one's calling their mates and going, "If you heard Ben Platt's playing the opening, you better tune in. It's Ben Platt."
Well, he got the place semi-rocking, is what I would
say. Did
he?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I switched on for 1 minute and it was so much energy emanating from the screen.
By this time,
you'd
done a 12-hour day by that point.
His red trousers almost knocked my eyes out.
Okay, so thanks,
I'm
Erica.
Just so pleased with life, which is great.
It's lovely, isn't it? just not that.
It's just a lot to take in.
Not after you've had that sort of day. Anyway, we've loved it today. It's been day one at the US Open. Looks like Roger Federer is going to be fine, so we'll leave it there. And if there's drama, you'll be hearing my voice again in a few seconds' time. Then we'll be back tomorrow with another edition of the Tennis Podcast. Hope you've enjoyed this one. Bit all over the place, but that's what happens in hotel lobbies when we've got the beer out and the whiskey and soda. Tell your friends about the Tennis Podcast. Get everybody you know to listen to it. We are executive produced by tennisballs.com. We are mascotted, is that a word, by Rio with a Y, brought to you in association with the Telegraph. We'll be back tomorrow. Catherine will be opening Prime's coverage from 10:30 UK time.
No,
she won't. Catherine will be doing what?
Well, from 10:30 local time.
10:30 local time, that's right. I'm not very good at the old time zone. So 3:30 UK time.
Correct.
Is when Catherine will be open to play. I tell you,
probably when Nick Kyrgios will be rolling through the doors of the hotel.
What day is it today? We'll be doing BBC Radio coverage of the afternoon session tomorrow, no doubt. Loads of live commentary. And then we'll be back with another one of these tomorrow night. So do tune in and join us then.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.